I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to WILL AM 580. This is the opening market report setting in today for Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. Let's check how the prices fared in the resumption of trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time on a Friday morning. Futures opened like this in the wheat pit. The nearby March contract, a $9.42 opening, up 16.5 cents. That, of course, on the open. May futures up 20.5 at 9:56 in July, up 11.5 at 8.79 for the day. September wheat futures at 8.61 were up 4.5 cents in December, up 11 at 8.97. Remember, these are the opening prices from about 20 minutes ago. From the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, the May wheat there up 30 cents at 14.03, and the May, or that was the March, the May at 12.65, up 20 and a quarter. Corn futures down, nearby March contract, the open at 5.06, up 4.5 cents, last trade at 5.01 and a quarter. May futures at 5.16.5, up 4.5 cents. And the July futures at 5.25, up 6.5 for the day. September corn futures up 5.75 at 5.24.5 in December. On the opening at $5.21, up 8.5 cents. March contract up 7 at 5.28.5, and the May futures at 5.34.5, up 6 for the day. March soybean futures on the opening at 9.30 this morning, up 12 cents at 12.81. May contract traded at 12.99, up 11.5 cents. And July futures up at 13.15, up 16 and a quarter. August contract 13.06 on the open. Their last trade up 48 cents. September futures at 25 higher at 12.85 on the opening this morning. Taking a look at what the numbers look like at this point, wheat futures anywhere between 12 and 16 cents higher. Corn futures up 4.5 in the nearby to 8 in the deferreds. That would be the FAR deferreds of July 09, and the soybeans March contract up 11.5 cents now. November futures up 15.5 for the afternoon. On the line with us, this morning on the line with us today is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Chuck.
Good morning, Todd. Good to be here.
I'll bet it is good to be here. Here is where for you. Did you make it all the way into the office? Or
yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as they thought, so we made it in here this morning, so we're good to go, and not as bad as they thought, so that's always nice.
Yeah, tell me about the openings and the overnight trade. It looks like we've got another up day at the Chicago Board of Trade.
Yeah, a good turnaround, which started yesterday and getting continuation. Looks like the exports were certainly good, and we're running well ahead of the normal pace. We're about 74% ahead compared to 54% on the export pace, so that's really positive going on. Also, the technicals look good. Now we had that correction in the market starting to turn things around, and then ideas of fund money coming back in here in the month of February, so those are probably the three factors that are getting things going, Todd.
Yeah, the tax side's kind of interesting because there was a while there where people were talking a little bit about the downside of the marketplace. It was awfully choppy, but at this point I think everybody's starting to turn a corner and believe that what was happening was just a retracement and it's ready for a resumption to the move to the upside. Is that right?
Yeah, we were telling guys, I mean, it was really overdone, overbought technically, and this correction, Mike's talked about it, it's been a healthy thing to get things back in balance, and we were getting pretty over-exaggerated, so I think it really did a good thing for the market, and now it gives us opportunities, I think, to project back to the old highs and see if we can take them out.
You know, for the month of February, probably a pretty good deal. You're looking at December corn at 5.23 and a quarter for the first day's trade. At this point, anyway, would it be good to end up the month of February with a $5 mark for the insurance?
Yeah, I think so. I heard you talk about that yesterday on the show, and I think it's real important for farmers' long-term benefit here to have a good number. And this month appears to be a really, you know, a lot of solid things lining up. And the higher that price is, the better the guarantee we're going to have going into spring and making some of our, you know, decisions against the weather and our marketing plans, Todd. That's really going to play nicely if we can keep these averages up real high.
And on the marketing plans, I know you're expecting to purchase insurance. What kind of insurance would you suggest most producers buy?
Well, certainly the revenue-type policies are attractive. I think they're going to be pretty high priced, though, when you look at the price of corn being up here, but I think it may be a year where we can cut back, and if you're taking 85% type policies, maybe a 75 is good enough when you get enough revenue. So I think once we know the month average, we can come back and and look at what the premium would be and how much each farmer needs to spend, and probably reduce the levels that they might have taken before.
Gary Schnipke, I spoke with yesterday, and we'll hear more from him probably next week. I have to write some stories out of that yet. But was talking about the difference between a couple of years ago and what's been happening now in the marketplace, and thinking that gross incomes at $400 or $500 are a lot different than gross incomes at $800, and that the increased price for the protection is really not protecting a $100 downside, but protecting a $200 or $300 potential drop in the downside per acre.
Yeah, you really have to put your calculator to it when we get these numbers, because a lot more revenue, a lot more at risk with our higher cost. All the guys know that. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting battle, too, when you do those math. You start looking at your bean insurance levels and revenue guarantee against the corn revenue with the higher cost. So it may, again, become more attractive for soybeans when you consider, again, you don't have as much cost, but the insurance certainly plays into that, too.
This has been a demand-driven market. I guess I'm thinking about the energy bill and the increased amount of ethanol that we'll need over the through 2015 now. We'll have to double ethanol production. How quickly do you think that can come on board? How quickly do you think that the industry will allow that much ethanol into the pipeline?
Well, I know there's some plants here in Indiana, a couple of them that have stopped their construction process, and I think they were feeling that they got a little bit ahead of themselves and we met the demand we currently need. But I think, again, when you start looking at the projections down the road, we'll see those constructions get going again. So I think, again, it's healthy for the industry to take a step back and say, whoa, we maybe have overdid it compared to what we really need as far as the demand side. But I think the other thing that's going on that we noticed, a lot of E85 pricing are 50, 60 cents lower per gallon for those who are buying gasoline, and that sure gets their attention. I know a lot of people are taking vehicles that are not really made for E85 and making some blends there, maybe a half a tank of regular gas and then blending any E85 and working pretty well in their cars. So that 50, 60 cents cheaper price gets their attention.
What are we seeing on the soybean market over the next 3 or 4 hours?
Well, I think the South American northern part is Brazil is pretty wet, and that's delayed harvest or some ideas, again, getting some diseases going. Again, we look for the bean market to make a continued run towards those old highs and then sit back and see if that's good enough for, you know, technical run-up.
What are your thoughts on covering beans at this point in terms of pricing out for new crop?
You know, I think it's good scale-up sell, but be flexible. When you look at that acreage report coming up in March, you know, 70 million is pretty much the bottom-line number of what we need, and when you look at 70 million, you need a really good yield, or the carryout can be into that rationing mode. If we'd only plant 69 or 68 million, I think the bean market would certainly react to that. A lot of talk to you, double crop acres out there, Todd, but you know, one thing farmers might want to check is their seed supply, because it's tight supply for the regular crop of beans. And you start looking at double crop, most of the time guys just go out and buy leftover bean seed for their double crop.
And finally, before I let you go, do you think that a $5 mark for crop insurance will keep producers at the acreage levels they were last year for corn, as opposed to switching back to soybeans? Or is the fact that anhydrous is just high enough in price that they'll make the switch to their normal rotation?
I think as you get out away from Illinois and Indiana, it's a different ball game. Indiana, Illinois guys they'll probably plant corn compared to the beans, but you spread out past that area. Certainly, beans are a lot more attractive to farmers outside of the core of Illinois and Indiana.
And one more note on the Minneapolis wheat. What are you and Mike thinking about in terms of spring wheat and where that might be headed?
Well, they're in the rationing mode out there on that, Todd, and that market's certainly strong. It's up 30 cents again today, $14 wheat. I think that's going to buy acres. Those guys, that even if you had a 30-bushel yield, you start multiplying $14, $15 wheat times that, it's going to get their attention. A lot lower input cost crop to plant out there, and that's what they used to plant a lot of. So I think that's going to attract acres, and I think, again, it applies to us here in the Midwest when we come back on those corn and bean acres on that March report.
Chuck, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, joined us here on the opening market report on a Friday morning. Here's the way the numbers are now trading in Chicago. The March wheat from Chicago, 17.5 cents higher at 947. July at 884, up 10.5. March corn at 506 3/4, 5.5 higher. And December futures up 8.25 at 524. The March soybeans at 1288.5, up 14. The Noves at 1261.5, up 16 for the day. Feeder cattle are trading the nearby March contract at 104.90, down 35. And the lean hogs for the Fabs at 59.15 are 67.5 cents higher. David Inge is in studio with us to take a look at what's coming up.